The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Children and parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that if it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves and masters. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your hearts. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for such a lovely reading. Always strikes me, I heard the giggles on fathers, do not exasperate your children. And I always think, why are mothers let off the hook? When I read that verse, clearly the writers of scripture knew that mothers would never wind up their children. So it's just the fathers that need that need to be told. There's probably some truth in that. Before I start, I just want to share a couple of prophetic words that I felt God give me during our worship. And I'm sharing these just with the encouragement to weigh them, to test them, to pray into them. It may be from God, it may be too much cheese last night, but I'm gonna share them anyway in faith. And the first of this, and actually I think God's given me these words because I think he's wanted to remind one or two here today that he is interested in the details of your life. So the first is someone with pain in their left knee, swelling and pain in your left knee. If that's you, I believe the Lord wants to minister to you, minister healing to you this morning. The second was a slightly strange one. I felt the Lord give me a picture of a fish. And I felt him say there's maybe someone here that loves fish. You're kind of passionate about fish, as in not to eat with chips, but as in your kind of marine life, fish. And even this week, you've been talking to someone you know or someone you live with maybe about all the different types of fish. You might have even been thinking of getting fish yourselves. And I felt the Lord say to you that actually he is calling you to stop swimming in a pond and actually to explore the vast ocean of his love and of his grace. I felt him say you've actually been kind of contained in a pond. You've been kind of splashing around in the shallows, and there's this whole ocean of love that he wants you to jump into and explore. And then the final word I felt the Lord give me was that someone here has unexpectedly had a new job opening over this past week, that there's a possibility of a brand new job that has kind of come across your table that you weren't looking for necessarily and you weren't expecting necessarily. But my sense is that the Lord is asking you, like Gideon laid out a fleece, asking for a miraculous sign, that the Lord is asking you as you discern and explore whether that new job opening is right for you, to lay out a fleece of your own. In other words, pray a very specific prayer and ask for a miraculous sign. Ask for God's confirmation as to whether or not that job is something he has opened a door for you. So I just share those I hope that they resonate for one or two here. If any of those do strike a chord with you, please do come and get prayer after our service. There's a prayer ministry team who'd love to pray for you, or someone you know and trust, ask them to pray for you. But I'd encourage you to respond to those words if you feel they're for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. Thank you that your word is living and active. And we place ourselves under the authority of your word. And we pray that your spirit would come now, speak to us, or give us that revelation that leads to transformation. Or do a new work in us and through us, we pray. And deepen our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as you will know, actually, first of all, if you were here last week with Paul Harcourt, wasn't that a special time last Sunday morning? If you weren't here, can I encourage you to listen to the recording? It's on our website. Paul did a brilliant preach on healing, but also emphasized the importance of love. And I'd really encourage you to listen to that if you get the opportunity to this week. Today we're returning to our current teaching series, which is Healthy Living, Life Lessons from Ephesians. And before we get going this morning, I thought it might be helpful for us just to do a bit of a summary, a bit of a recap, a bit of a reminder of what we've covered so far together. I think it's going to come up on the next slide. Thank you, Justin. So far in this Healthy Living series, we have been reminded by Paul in Ephesians. And actually, as we go through these, you might want to do a bit of an inventory. You might want to think, how healthily am I living based on the things we've looked at these past few weeks? We've remembered that we're called to be holy. We're called to be holy. You might want to ask yourself, are you being holy? Are you living in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? We've been instructed to receive the gift of grace. Have you received God's great gift of salvation? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know his love for you? Do you know his hope? Do you know his grace? Next one, I know all of us have mastered this one. Be rooted and established in love. It's challenging. How healthy are you when it comes to being rooted and established in love? Are you growing in your ability to love? Are you growing in your capacity to love? Similarly, we looked at speak the truth in love. Some of us love this one. Some of us recoil at the thought. How are you doing? Speak the truth in love. Are you all truth and no love? Are you all love and no truth? I wonder which camp you might fall into. And then last week, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Remember, I said before, wives are told to submit to their husbands, all of us are told to submit to one another. How's that going? Are you preferring one another in love out of your reverence for Jesus? It's a challenging book, Ephesians. And yet these are key. These instructions from Paul are key to living a healthy and a godly and a fulfilled life. Today in our time together, if you have a Bible, do please keep it open at Ephesians 6. We're going to zero in on verse 7, which I think is going to be on our next slide. Thank you, Justin. Either in your Bibles or by the words on the screen. Could we read this aloud together? It's good for us to read scripture together in church. Ready? Let's read this together. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Let's read it one more time. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. And this morning, I have three questions for us. And the questions are this. First of all, why should I serve? That great philosopher and prophet Bob Dylan said, you've got to serve somebody. First question, why should I serve? Second question, what does it look like to serve wholeheartedly? And then third and final question, where are the opportunities to serve at Emmanuel right now? Well, let's start with that first question, because that generally makes sense. Why should you serve? Here are five reasons. First and foremost, because serving is part of our worship. Serving is part of our worship. We're called to serve as though we are serving the Lord and not people, as we've just read. God has given everything for us. He's given everything for us, no expense spared. And when we serve in a local church, we are able to respond to all that God has done for us, to all that he has given us by using our talents and our time and our energies as an act of worship to God. So first and foremost, we serve as an act of worship. Next, why should you serve? Because the Lord will bless you and reward you for the good that you do. Look at verse 8 of Ephesians 6. The Lord will bless you and reward you for the good that you do. And this might sound like something of a selfish motivation, but friends, God loves to bless his people. He loves to show his grace and his goodness to us. Jesus takes great delight and great pleasure and great joy whenever his people serve him and work to edify and build up and encourage his church. The third reason we should serve is because serving is a great way to meet others. Serving is a great way to get to know other people, to deepen friendships and relationships across the church family. Some of you will be here this morning and you've been coming for a little while to Emmanuel, but you still feel like you're on the edges, like you don't really know anyone. You've got your same kind of group of three or four people that you come with or sit with or talk to every Sunday, but you don't really know many others. I want to say, if that's you, if you've been coming for a little while now to Emmanuel, if you consider Emmanuel your kind of home place of worship, your home church, but you still feel like you're skirting around the edges of the community here, then why don't you start serving? Serve on a team. And there's all kinds of ways you can serve, which I'll come on to in a moment. But I can promise you that once you start serving on a team at Emmanuel, you'll immediately feel more integrated. You'll immediately get to know others. You'll realize there's another Sheffield Wednesday fan in the church against all the odds. You'll realize someone else has the same food taste as you, the same politics as you, maybe even the same dress sense as you, which looking at some of you is a miracle. That's a joke, I'm just kidding. Actually, serving is a great way to build friendships, to deepen relationships, and to get to know others. If we have our next slide, thank you. Some of you will remember the wartime slogans of "Your country needs you." Give us a wave if they're familiar, if you've come across those posters before. Well, I want to say this morning that your church needs you. Your church needs you. Emmanuel has a whole load of different ministries and different teams, each of which can offer plenty of opportunities to serve, and each of which has plenty of space for new recruits, for new volunteers. And none of these teams would function. They simply would not function, would not happen, without the dedication and the time and the kindness and the generosity and the talents of all those people who serve on them. And I want to say a huge thank you, church, to everyone who serves on a team or across multiple teams and roles in this church family. We need you. And we give thanks to God for you and for all the ways in which you serve. And if you're yet to start serving on a team here at Emmanuel, your church needs you. Your church needs you. Remember that one of our core family values at Emmanuel, I shared about this at the AGM, and I'll be sharing more about this over the coming months, is that of taking responsibility. Emmanuel is not a cruise ship. We're a battleship. Everyone has a station to man. All of us are called to take responsibility. Are you serving? Are you taking responsibility? Or do you just come every week without kind of a second thought as to who put the chairs out? Who made the coffees? Who unlocked the building? Actually, it's a whole team effort, and all of us are called to serve. And then the fifth reason we should serve is this: because serving gives us and provides us a focus away from ourselves. It allows us to take our gaze away from all of our own immediate worries and concerns. Martin Luther, wonderful in many ways, deeply troubled in others. But he famously said that sin is a life turned in on itself. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be kind of so introspective that we have no kind of capacity whatsoever to think about others, to think about God. We're so consumed with worry and kind of dread and anxiety. Actually, our ability to serve and to find a focus that lifts our eyes off ourselves is just kind of limited. But actually, serving allows us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. It provides us with a focus and a purpose. So there's five reasons. There's many more, but there's five reasons as to why we should serve. Next, our second question. What does it look like to serve wholeheartedly? I think we've got our next slide. Thanks, Justin. If you can't see what that says on the wall, it says, "What are you looking at?" And there's a CCTV camera. Why should we serve wholeheartedly? What does it look like to serve wholeheartedly? Well, to answer that question, what does it look like to serve wholeheartedly? I want to say this. It looks like serving before an audience of one. Or to be more specific, an audience of three in one. It looks like being content with serving without receiving any kind of gratitude or fanfare or celebration from others. Knowing that your Father, your Heavenly Father, sees what is done in secret, as we read in Matthew 6. It's so challenging, isn't it? We all love to be thanked. I'm no different. I love to be thanked. All of us appreciate it when someone appreciates us and appreciates the things that we do. But are we content? Are we those wholehearted servers who are content with serving before an audience of one, knowing that our Heavenly Father sees all that is done in secret? What else does serving wholeheartedly look like? It looks like treating others with dignity and kindness. It looks like not putting pressure on people, not standing in judgment over people, not loading others with the jobs that you'd rather not do. We make a lot about delegation in leadership, but good leaders are those who delegate, maybe. Bad leaders are those who dump the jobs they can't stand onto people because they'd rather someone else did them. That's not good leadership. That's bad leadership. Are we willing to get our hands dirty? There's a fantastic couple at a previous church, and this couple had an international ministry. You would have heard of them. You would know their names. And one of this couple used to lead the particular church I'm talking about. But late in their life, in their 70s and 80s, I'll never forget this couple, for all the things they'd seen kind of around the world, for all the kind of fruitfulness of their ministry and their legacy in the church, they were on the toilet cleaning rota at this church. And it always stayed with me. Actually, this amazing couple that the Lord has used in such powerful ways, we're putting on their marigolds, we're getting the duck toilet cleaner, and we're mucking in week after week. They weren't delegating that job onto someone else. They stepped up. They served. Serving wholeheartedly looks like loving others into the kingdom of God and recognizing the inherent worth of everyone as beloved children of God. Next, what does it look like to serve wholeheartedly? It looks repetitive. 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 You catch my drift. just as a muscle is strengthened by the regular lifting of weights, a servant heart is strengthened and is formed and grows by a steely commitment to serving regularly and often. It may feel mundane at times. In fact, it will. It will feel mundane at times. And at other times, you may not even feel like serving. Guys, guess what? Even vicars sometimes dread coming to church. We go to bed on a Saturday night with that existential sense of dread. Oh no, it's Sunday tomorrow. Obviously not me, that I don't relate to that. Some vicars feel that way. And we might not feel like serving, but that's okay. Wholehearted servants are those who serve anyway, knowing that the end results and the rewards and the blessings from God are well and truly worth it. I think this next one is interesting. Serving wholeheartedly looks like choosing to think the best of people. It looks like choosing to think the best of people whenever conflict or difficulty arises. Some of us are rhinos in the room. Some of us are hedgehogs. Have you come across that phrase? Some of us do everything we can, these are the hedgehogs, to avoid conflict with others. Others of us, the rhinos, we love to shoot from the hip, to tell it how it is, to enter into those frank and robust conversations that you've just been desperate to have. And one of the things that's really helped me in my own relationship with the Lord and in my own life and ministry and leadership is to form a theology of conflict that says conflict is totally normal. Conflict is normal in the church, and actually conflict should be expected. And why? Why should we expect conflict to present itself? Well, everyone here today is part of a family. And I wonder, does anyone here today want to be so bold as to claim there has never been any conflict in their family? Give us a wave if that's you. You can preach next week, and for the future weeks, we've got a lot to learn from you. Actually, families are hotbeds of conflict. Conflict is normal when we're part of a family. And here at Emmanuel, we are part of a family. We're no different. We're a family too. And when we serve alongside others, conflict can and will arise. It will present itself. Therefore, instead of spending all of our energy doing whatever we can to avoid conflict, how much better and how much brighter might our prospects, our relationships, our interactions with one another look if we were to pour that same energy into handling conflict well when it presents itself? If we were to pour that same energy into disagreeing well with others? This cultural moment that we are in, I think we lack nuance. We lack nuance as a society. Everything is so tribal. And you see this in the church as well. You're either in this camp or you're in this camp. You have this theology about this issue or you have this theology about the same issue. We become so tribal, so hostile to those that think differently to us. But actually, how much brighter and better and amazing would it look if we were those that took that default position of always choosing to think the best of one another? It can really help when conflict arises. Rather than being quick to say, oh, them again. Oh, they're so annoying. Oh, I can't believe they did that. Oh, it's the last time I do tea and coffee with them. Whew. Actually, what would choosing to think the best of people look like? Well, I wouldn't have done it that way, but I kind of understand why they've done that. Actually, they've had a really tough week. I know they're stressed, so I can actually just let that slide this morning. what would it look like if we took that default position of always choosing to think the best of one another as we serve together? And friends, this is only possible with God's help and with God's grace. We need a theology of conflict that is normal. And instead of spending all our time and energy on avoiding conflict, we need to commit to handling conflict well when it presents itself. And then finally, our third and final question, where are the opportunities to serve at Emmanuel right now? Well, you'll be pleased to hear there are loads of opportunities to serve at Emmanuel, and there always will be, in fact. Thank you, Justin. And I'm going to just whiz through some of these. So you can serve on our children and youth team, on our kids and youth team, subject to undergoing the required DBS checks and references and the safeguarding process. You can serve on Conquer Club. Emma would do a far better job than me. She's here. But you can serve on Conquer Club, our preschoolers. You can serve with Creche. You can serve with Roots and Shoots, Encounter, Deeper. There's so many opportunities to serve in this church with children and young people. And friends, I think I've shared this before. The national average for Church of England churches is that they have 1 to 2 under 18s in their church. There are churches up and down this country that will die when their older members die. We are so blessed at Emmanuel to have the numbers of children and young people that we do. Every single child and young person, a blessing from the Lord, a gift of his grace. And those of you who serve on our children and youth team, you have that great privilege, that great opportunity to encourage our children and young people, to nurture faith, to support them as they grow in their love and their understanding of Jesus and of his word. To make church fun. Forget make America great again. Let's make church fun again. It's not like the classroom. That's not our vision for children and youth work here. We don't want it to be strict. We don't want it to be rigid. We want to recognize that children are a gift from God, and we want to create a space, a safe space for them to thrive and flourish in. Another team you can serve on is our setup team. Setup, as we have grown numerically at Emmanuel, has become more complicated. Most weeks we are short on people to set up. If you're a hands-on, practical person that enjoys a workout on a Sunday morning before you worship, then the setup team could be for you. A few of us setting up this morning had a sweat on before the start of the service. It's great for your step count if that's something that interests you. If you would like to help with setup team, you are very, very welcome. We also have our front of house, our key holder team. This is unlocking and locking up the building each Sunday. This is a skilled role, as I learned when I set off the alarm, one of the first times that I was on this particular duty. It was a wonderful opportunity to minister the grace of God to a very angry caretaker. But you are very welcome, if you want to serve on our keyholder team, to help with unlocking and locking up the building on Sundays. And you don't have to do this every week. It might be that you do this kind of every month or every 5 to 6 weeks in rotation with others. Then we have our welcome team. What an amazing team that is to serve on. Those on the welcome team are often the first kind of point of contact for anyone that comes to Emmanuel. And I've been so encouraged ever since being here at Emmanuel to hear so many people, often people that are new to us or relatively new, say they have been made to feel so welcome. Give yourselves a pat on the back, welcome team. Great job. If anything, I think there's a danger we over-welcome people at Emmanuel. What a wonderful problem to have. If you find people irritating and hate talking to others, then the welcome team is probably not for you. Just want to say that this morning. But it's a great team to serve on. Our refreshments team, friends, the ministry of tea, coffee, and cake is amongst the elite ministries in the kingdom of God. You are literally fueling the church. It is a wonderful ministry to take part in. And we are so thankful to all of our team who serve beautiful refreshments week in, week out. Then we have our worship team. And within the worship team, you have the kind of technical audio-visual side of things as well. If you're... Hello.
Hello.
which Justin so kindly demonstrated earlier this morning. It might sound scary, but it's really not. It's very simple, and full training can be provided. If you are a talented, competent musician or singer, and you'd love to use those gifts to help usher in the presence of God when we worship, then please speak to Peter. Speak to any of our worship team. If you're a computer nerd that loves pressing buttons and twiddling dials, if you think you might be called to help with sound and visuals, then we'd love to hear from you. There is always room to join our worship team. Then our prayer ministry team. What an amazing team that is to be part of. What a privilege to pray for God to bless and come alongside and minister to those that want prayer every Sunday. And it's not random. We have people who are trained to pray for others in a safe and loving and wise way here at Emmanuel. And there's always room for more. And then looking outward, because loving our city, that's what we're called to do. Rooted in the Word, moving in the Spirit, loving our city. Looking outwards, we have healing on the streets. Our HOTS team, when I hear the word HOTS used, I often think if you're here for the first time, you might be thinking, what on earth is HOTS? In case you've always wondered that, healing on the streets, we call it HOTS. It's just simpler than saying healing on the streets every time. Actually, even this Saturday, the team are going out again onto the streets of Chichester to love people they meet, to pray for healing for people. What an amazing team that is to be part of. Stepping out in faith. And encourage, wanting to bless and love and minister to the people in our city. And there are many, many more teams and opportunities on which you can serve. There's lovely lunch hosts. There's all kinds of things. I'm not going to list them all because I will forget one and offend someone. And so I will thank you for your understanding in advance. But there are so many ways to get involved and to serve here at Emmanuel. And this morning, your vicar is going to be stood by the door with a sign-up sheet with lots of teams that you can serve on. And I would encourage you, and I'm talking especially to people who are not yet serving on a team here at Emmanuel. Often churches the world over have the same problem where the same kind of 20 or 30% of the people do kind of 70 or 80% of the work. So please hear me. If that's you, I'm not asking you to do more than you're doing already. Actually, if you've kind of got capacity to serve more, to give more of your time and your energies and your talents, or if you're not serving at all yet currently, I would love to have a conversation with you. I'd love to encourage you, even during the rest of our gathering this morning, to be asking the Lord, where might you want me to serve? Because I'm so genuine when I say we are not just wanting people to be commodities that kind of solve rota conundrums. Actually, I really believe the Lord has gifted each of you as individuals with particular passions, particular burdens, particular skills and talents that he is inviting you to use for the building up of his church. If you cannot sing to save your life, if every time you sing the clouds part and it rains for days, the worship team's probably not for you. But there will be something. There will be something for you. Where is God calling you to serve wholeheartedly? And just as we close and in a moment come to celebrate communion, I have a sense this morning that God is wanting to challenge those of us who call Emmanuel our home church but are not yet serving on a team. And I felt him give me a picture of a beautiful lake or swimming pool. And in this picture, instead of jumping in, people were just kind of sat around the edges, one or two maybe dipping their toes in the water. But I sense the Lord say, take the plunge and be refreshed. Stop skirting around the edges, jump in, be refreshed. And if that resonates with you, please ask the Lord, where does he want you to serve? If you call Emmanuel your home church, where might God be asking you to serve at this time? And then the final encouragement, the final people I thought God is wanting to bless, is to encourage all of those who are already serving, all of those who are feeling perhaps tired, weary, on the edge of burnout, maybe even resentful. I just felt the Lord say, he wants to remind you and bless you by showing you that he sees all that you do. Josh said when he was leading worship that he's the God who sees. He sees you. Those beautiful words of Hagar in the Old Testament. He is the God who sees me. And I just want to leave that as an encouragement. If you're someone serving a lot already, know that the Lord sees you and loves what you give to his church. So could we stand? If you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm just going to pray for us. Josh, I'm going to invite you up. Josh is going to lead a song in a moment. It'll be time to collect children in a minute for communion and bring them back in as we celebrate the bread and the wine together. But I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, would you speak to each one of us now? Lord, where we've grown too comfortable, Lord, would you disturb us? Lord, where we've been complacent or consumer in any way in our approach to church, would you help us? Would you forgive us? Would you give us a fresh vision of what it means to be those who serve wholeheartedly? And Lord, we know that that doesn't just apply to Sunday church. It's day in, day out, in the workplace, in our homes, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. Fill us now, Lord, afresh with your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, lead us, convict us, and guide us, that we would be those who wholeheartedly love you and who wholeheartedly serve you in all that we do. And may it all be worship, and may it all be for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.